Hey, Dan here, dialing in another episode of TWAT. Today I'm going to talk about some Audacity tips. Now, back on episode 81, Low Tech Mystic did a fantastic overview of Audacity. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go over there and grab that episode from the TWAT website. I am by no means a sound engineer or a sound aficionado. My experience with sound editing applications comes just from playing around with them, and I've played around primarily with Audacity. Now, I don't know a lot of the fancy features and plugins of Audacity, but I know enough to get myself around. I also know enough that when the sound quality of my shows suck, there's no one else to blame but myself. And having had some awful sound quality in the past, I've implemented some means of research into trying to, you know, improve that. And right off the bat, what it seems to be, the most important thing, it's all about the decibels. It's getting the right decibel level into the system and then the right decibel level out of the system in your encoded audio file. And from what I've read, it seems to be somewhere between negative 12 and 0 decibels is the range you want to be in, probably closer to the zero end. That way you're not going to distort or you're not going to be too soft. And so let's talk about that. Primarily, first line of defense for getting decent audio in is going to be your equipment. Your microphone, your mixers that you have, your audio that's coming into the system. If you can get that at this a decent level, somewhere again between negative 12 and 0, that's great. But possibly you're using a cheap microphone like I am or we do on the tech show, or you have multiple audio inputs coming in and everybody's using some different equipment, or maybe you're doing a Skype call or using an Asterisk server and piping that audio in there too, and you're getting such varied range of audio quality. Well, what you probably want to do is you're going to do some test recordings and look at each individual input and the quality of the sound and the decibel level that's coming in. Now, you can watch the decibels at the upper right-hand corner of Audacity. It has a little meter. Now, that meter really, you can get a general idea of what's going on, but what you're going to want to do is record some sound somewhere between 10 and 30 seconds, and then there's a tool under the Analyze button of Audacity called Plot Spectrum, and it'll only analyze 23 seconds of audio in your file there, so that's why you want to keep it relatively short but a good sample. And do an analysis of that, see what the quality of the audio is, what the decibel range is. If you're getting up there around negative 10 and 0, that's pretty good. You can also look at the actual waveform in the window, and if you're seeing a decent waveform. Now, this is like the meter at the top, but if you're looking at the waveform and it seems to be, you know, you got some decent peaks and relatively it's going between the 0 and the 0.5 and the negative 0.5, and you got some good quality going on there. If it looks good, chances are, you know, it's pretty good. Your audio is coming in decently, and you could work with it afterwards to do some post-production steps. Now, if you're having multiple inputs and you're noticing that somebody's waveform is significantly lower than everybody else's, that's going to be a problem when you get down to the ultimate encoding of your files at the end, your ultimate output. Ideally, what you want to do, even if you have to lower everybody else down below that negative 12 to negative to 0 range, you want to get everybody as close to that lowest decibel level as possible, that lowest level. Even if that person's down there around negative 20, it's going to suck, but you're going to have to do some post-production after that to boost the whole thing up. And that, unfortunately, comes with some side effects, too, which we'll discuss in a minute. But if you can get everybody at least coming in at the same level, then you can. It's easier to fix the problems than it is if you have such varying levels. Because if you have four or five people coming in between negative 18 and 0 and somebody down there around negative 30 to negative 20, it just makes everything a whole lot more difficult. Now, once you get, you know, you have your recording set up, your recording, and you've adjusted your input levels, your mic, and all that, and you're getting a decent stream in, you're going to you do your recording. When you play it back, even if you're at like negative 30, so to say, somebody's down there at negative 30 decibels, and you listen to it in headphones, or if you export it out into a WAV or encode it in AUG and MP3, and you listen to it through headphones or on a portable player through headphones, it may not sound that bad to you, okay? But what I have found and what I notice is I can listen to some stuff I do on my headphones. So I can see that the sound quality is really low, but it sounds fine. I take that and I play it in my car while I'm driving or anywhere where there's a little bit of noise in the background, and you're going to be drowned out. They're not going to be able to hear what you're saying. They're not going to be able to hear what the audio file over the noise of everything else. If you have a captive audience with headphones, it's not as difficult to have your audio drowned out. They pay more attention, they're more focused, they're more attuned to it, there's not as many audio distractions, and it's easier for them to hear. They're not going to notice the problems, but once you start getting a little noise in the background, and that's when you're going to have issues. So probably the easiest thing afterwards that you have your audio in, again, you want to look at your highest peaks, where you have the highest amount of sound, do a plot, you know, highlight a little bit of that section and do a analysis on, analyze it in plot spectrum and see where you're peaking out on your decibels there. Hopefully it's somewhere between negative 10 and 0. And then find, you know, your lowest part. Again, if this has multiple tracks coming in, you find your lowest, and they're all in a single track. If they're all mixed down into a single track, find your lowest part there, and you know, you might be down around negative 30 to 20, and you know, do a difference of those two, because what you're going to try and run is the compressor, and when you run the compressor, the delimiter compressor in there, the idea of that is to try and take anything above a certain level and bring it down below that level by a multiple. So you can try and run the compressor. I've had mixed results with that. Essentially what you're going to do is, if you had your lowest audio is at negative 30 and your highest is around like negative 5, so to speak, you're going to find a midpoint in between those two. So difference between negative 30 and negative 5 is 25, so half of that is 12.5, so 17.5 might be an ideal place to start. And so again, that's what you're going to want to set your threshold to, so that theoretically anything above the 17.5 is going to get reduced by the ratio that you have set. Now again, ratio by default is 2:1. You can keep increasing it 4:1, 6:1, whatever, but generally hopefully 2:1 will work. And then you have an attack time, which by default is set at 0.2 seconds. And that means that anything that lasts longer than 0.2 seconds that exceeds the threshold of 17.5 should be reduced by a ratio of 2:1. Sometimes it works really well. If your audio is really that bad and that varied, you know, it might not do the job enough for you. If you have a really, really long track, like a really long podcast, it's going to take a little while for this the dynamic compressor to run. So, you know, expect to allow it to process about 2 to 3 minutes for an 45-minute track. There's also a little checkbox down there to normalize it, and you can the option to normalize during the dynamic compressor, or if you uncheck it, it won't normalize it. By default, it's turned on. But once you do that, you can then hopefully have more equal audio, and you can do a little bit of touch-up. There's a tool up there. It's the second button in the upper left-hand corner right next to the selection tool. There's an envelope tool, and if you click that, it'll show a range across, a little go across, and you can see where peaks exceed above the 0.5 and the negative 0.5, and you can actually go in there with the envelope tool and click on either side of that peak. Give yourself a little space, like maybe a half a second or so on either side, and you'll see that it'll put little adjusters in there, and then you can click right on where that point of the wave exceeds above that threshold and adjust it. You can lower that part of the wave in there, and it'll reduce the actual decibels overall on that section of the audio track. Play around with that tool. It's pretty handy, but then again, if you have a huge file that's like half an hour or more, you can end up going really crazy with this tool. There could be a whole lot of spots where you have to adjust, and you could even use the envelope tool to not only lower something, but you can try and pull it up. But which brings us into the next tool we're going to talk about, and that's the amplify tool. Under effects, there's an amplify tool. Now, if you have all your audio pretty much at the same level, coming in anywhere, you know, at a certain level. You could use the amplify tool, which will calculate a value based on your entire track to bring it up to an ideal decibel level, somewhere between, I think it's negative 10 or negative 6 and 0, and it'll give you a value that it'll bump everything up by a certain level. Like, you might do it if you luck out and you see you highlight a section of your audio track and click amplify, it'll find a value in there to bring it up to a decent level and not exceed 0 decibels and potentially cause distortion. Now, if you highlight a huge your whole track and you click on there and there's no value in there at the top under amplification, that's because Audacity was not able to get a generic value for your entire track to boost everybody up closer to zero without probably exceeding the zero threshold. It means your audio is just too varied in there, and it's not capable of calculating anything that would be acceptable to boost the lowest portion up without affecting the loudest portions of the audio. But you can overcome that. You can adjust it so that you can amplify your lowest values and put in your own value down there and exceed the zero threshold for certain parts of your track by clicking that button down there that says allow clipping. Now, a word of caution about that allow clipping. It's possible that when you do that, you could cause distortion or really bad audio quality on your louder parts of your track. For instance, if you had a voice going on, if you were doing a podcast, you're talking for about maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then you include an audio clip in there, and your audio clip is a lot louder than your voice, or it's at a level that is ideal in decibel levels for the actual recording, and then you highlight everything and amplify so your audio is louder between that range of let's say your audio is somewhere down around negative 20, and you want to say, well, I'm going to just boost it up 10 decibels. So you boost it up to 10 decibels. Well, you're going to take that audio track too and boost it up 10 decibels, and it could exceed the zero threshold and really sound awful. And not only that, it could blow a person's eardrums out with the difference in audio level. So be aware of exceeding the or allowing the clipping exceeding the zero threshold for creating distortions. Now, ideally, what you want to do is take out that audio track, amplify your or just actually highlight the spoken track, your voice, highlight that, amplify that to the value you want, and then, you know, leave your audio track unamplified or, you know, add it in at a later time. So the amplification tool is your friend. If your audio is really, really low, use the amplification tool to boost it up. Now, I have found, particularly with spoken audio, with a podcast, with just spoken word, you can exceed the clipping, the zero decibels, and you know, allow the clipping, and chances are your audio is not going to sound that much worse. I think personally, when the audio is too soft to hear, that is worse than it being a little too loud or a little distorted. And since using those tools, I found that it's a lot easier for me to listen to the stuff that I've done in the past than to listen to it when it's softer and having to try and crank up the stereo, crank up my volume meter so I can actually hear it. And again, use these tools with a little bit of caution because you don't want to, again, cause too much distortion if you're going to clip above the zero decibels. That being said, practice with them, give them a little tryout testing, and then test the audio that you create from those on multiple devices to make sure that it sounds kind of decent. It all comes back to if the audio coming in is great and doesn't require a lot of post-processing, that's your ideal tool. But if it's not as good and you need to amplify it in post-production, you know, you got to play around with it and find out the best fit. It's a little bit of an art there, and by all means, I'm far from being an artist in doing this, but I think with a little bit of time and patience and practicing with the tools in Audacity, you can really improve your audio quality so people aren't, you know, rewinding and getting pissed that you can't hear the damn thing. Now, again, be careful with the amplification tool, because it not only amplifies the person speaking, but it's going to amplify any background noise in the recording. You can get really crazy with the amplification tool. You can sit there and try and highlight just portions. If you had multiple people talking, for instance, all coming in under one track because you don't have multi-track capability. Like if I was talking right now and I had a Skype call that I was recording, because I don't have multi-track capability or a multi-output sound input sound card, all this comes in under one track. So perhaps the Skype call or the Asterisk call is really low compared to where I am. And again, if you can adjust that before it actually gets into the recording, that's great. But if not, if you have a problem, you can actually go in and highlight those sections where the person who was talking is a little softer than you are, and you can amplify those individually. But that gets to be tedious and a real pain in the butt, particularly if your track is getting anywhere beyond a half hour to an hour. You can end up spending an awful lot of time in post-production. But be careful, though, too, because it is noticeable. If I'm talking here and I amplify track, you know, if I'm talking for about 10 seconds and then another person's talking, I amplify that, you're going to notice it. The person who's listening is going to notice there is a difference in the sound, that person's going to get amplified, and you can actually hear the difference in the background. It can be noticeable. So, you know, you want to kind of try and, if possible, amplify the whole thing as opposed to just certain sections if you're going to do it for a lot of parts of the audio, because it's going to get tiring if one person's talking, the next person is, it's just like you get a little bit of a glitch and it amplifies the audio for that person, and then when the next person talks it drops back a little bit and then it amplifies it again. You'll be able to hear that in the recording, and it might get tiring to the person or frustrating to your audience. So again, if possible, all audio coming in at the same decibel level would be the ideal thing. Barring that, do your best to kind of, you know, amplify as much as you can, clean it up. If you can, reduce everybody to a decent range where there's not maybe a 20 decibel difference between them. That would be great too, using a compressor. Get everybody as close as possible and then amplify everybody up. Barring that, you might have to go in with the envelope tool, adjust a few places, or you might have to amplify certain sections. But if you do a double amplification, like if you amplify somebody to get them up to a certain level and then amplify the whole track, it's really noticeable. Again, you're going to have to play around with it and test it. It's what the fun of Audacity is, just playing around and testing it. Now, again, like I say, I'm just learning this stuff myself, so good luck with it. If you have any advice, questions, comments, please send it to me. If what I said is you found completely erroneous and there's a better way to do it, hey, let me know and let the rest of us know. Do a twat about it, or let me know and I'll do a twat about it. But that's what I have found in the past 3 years of screwing up a lot of audio that has worked for me. Thanks a lot. Keep participating in twat. The more people we have, the more interesting it gets, the more varied topics we have. And have a good one.